your shit back up here again. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't run away. Come back over here.
Oh, okay.
You come back over
okay.
here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sit on down. Get comfy. Welcome to the Backlog Review Game Club for another month. My name is Chris. Joined with me, as always, is
Paul.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Oh. I almost beat you to it several times before you got to.
That's true. I just wanted to drag it out as much as I could.
Yeah.
And
that's build the suspense.
That's right.
In this podcast.
Listeners will not get to see the pose that I struck to get into our introduction this month, but I was real happy with it.
Anything
I can do to method act my way through those intros, I'm going to take.
Well, I just cracked up the whole way through it.
You know what's funny? I looked over, saw your reaction to it, and went, yep, keep doing it. Keep it up.
It was necessary.
I need to stick with it.
Yeah.
I needed to have, I don't know, like... after school kids special after cool.
It was definitely after cool.
It was definitely after cool.
This is post cool.
I'm living in
post
cool. You are post cool.
Yeah.
There's a small window.
There's a genre to define you.
Yeah. There was a small window where I lived in cool, and that was about a week.
Yeah.
And I've been in post cool ever since.
Yeah. So obviously, welcome. We're talking about jazz movements. He's in the bebop era.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Yep. I will agree with you on that because you studied music. And I studied the bleeps and the bloops of the computers.
That's probably more important in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, we could argue pros and cons of that.
Yeah,
another time. But welcome back to another month of the podcast. A lot of things happened in this past month for us, which is possibly a reason. If this comes out on time, then some things happened that went well. Let me just say this. There's a good chance that if it doesn't get delayed, great, and ignore anything I say after this. But yeah, it was a busy month, and so
that might be why it's delayed.
Take care of the business up front.
Yeah.
We're just going to say, thanks to everyone who watched during Extra Life this year. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal.
Ridiculously well. New all-time donations record. We had almost 80... No, we had 80 donations total.
And we're not just talking like a slight, breaking of our record.
No,
absolutely demolished.
It's smashed it.
Yeah.
Obliterated it several times
during
that stream. And so that was ridiculously amazing. We finished now at, we're at $4,372. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And
incredible.
69 cents.
Nice.
So nice. So yeah, thank you everyone that donated. It was an amazing month, amazing stream. Thanks everyone that watched us on giantbomb.com, which is weird for me to say in an amazing way.
Yep.
It's been real fun going back and watching the Rory and Jan stream that was happening while we were streaming, and to have them not only talk about us during the stream, but like watching the stream and commenting.
Yep.
Jan apparently thinks we had a very comfy setup, which we kind of did, but any couch gets pretty old after 6 hours.
Yes.
That couch is permanent.
Could have been a lot worse.
Oh, it could have been way worse.
Yeah.
That couch is definitely not the same after, it never is after Extra Life. It just, it loses something in those streams.
So part of its soul. Dies. Yeah.
Every year, just another part of it dies. It's been through three of them now.
It really has.
Yeah. That's why
trooper.
That's why that middle cushion is totally fine.
Yeah.
It's because that's where all the controllers go.
Yep.
And it's just, it'll never be the same as the other two seats. But
what can you do,
It was, it was one of the best streams it was the best stream we've ever had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly.
Yep.
Paul got to be in the song zone.
That's what I was going to. I was going to bring up the song zone. Really, I just felt like I was at home. I was back in my interdimensional,
interdimensional
musical portal. Musical zone.
It was. I was very happy that we were able to obtain the technology to finally give the folks at home a witness.
Yeah,
to witness your process.
It was an organic experience.
Right.
Yeah.
It was the MTV Unplugged. Of one of these
It was my true self.
Yeah, it was your true self. You know, you got to see, but it was the behind the music. Any other 90s?
Yeah, I was trying to think of whatever.
Viacom.
There definitely was a pop-up video version. It's coming up in the future.
Oh, crap. If I could make now all I want to do is figure out a way to do a pop-up video during your songs.
That would
now.
Be pretty amazing.
Oh, so much. Man. See, now I'm taking, now I'm like making a note to myself. Figure out, I mean, I could definitely make it happen, but now I'm just thinking like, what facts would I put in?
Yeah, right. That's the real question.
What an idea has been born. This
what
day.
Interesting and tasty tidbits.
Mm-hmm. I would need tidbits from people.
Yeah. Yeah. Would they wouldn't be about me, right? They'd be about the person that I'm.
I mean,
about?
When all else fails, just digging that big old bag of Paul facts.
It's true. And boy,
it's
bottomless.
It's a big old sack.
It's a big old sack. Sack of tidbits.
It's great. An idea has been born this day. I'm excited.
Yep.
So look forward to that in 2022.
You are witnessing our creative prowess.
That's
our creative process.
It really is. It's
and
how
prowess.
The, and prowess. Yeah.
It's we're creative dudes.
It's how the Trof Dog song got born.
It's true.
We need a flame. I need a flaming hot Chivo. Emote. I just found out I have access to more emotes now.
Ooh.
I can get 5, and I only have the one.
Is it gonna be like Chester Cheeto, like holding a trif or holding a?
Well, to avoid copyright infringement or any sort of legal action from Frito-Lay, maybe we just have another orange and yellow animal.
Yeah. Larry Leopard. No, I guess it's not Cheetah, it's Cheeto. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I need honestly, I was just thinking about making one that's the Xbox achievement.
Yeah.
But make it the flaming hot Cheeto colors.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. That's a thought. There you go. I need emotes. And I know we had an offer during Extra Life, but I want to be able to pay people for art. I don't want to just assume that they'll do a nice thing for me.
It could just be a crude drawing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
I'm a Cheeto or
if
something.
If people have seen the Trof Dog emote in my Twitch channel, it's not like...
That's a great one, though.
It's not the worst thing I've ever done. People are better at art than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm no artist, so... But... So that was Extra Life. That was kind of the big thing. And honestly, it's been nice to be able to think about anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
those weeks leading up to it are a big stressor, but it helps when the event goes as well as it did.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And before we get into this month's game about Alan Wake, can't wait to talk about it. Any other things that we're playing right now? I forget sometimes to bring this up, but we're playing some stuff that's either one of us or both of us might be playing, but we might necessarily not have a whole episode on it.
Yeah.
So, what have you been playing other than this month's game?
So I generally try to stick with one game at a time. That's not happening right now. So currently Forza Horizon 5.
Oh yeah.
So much fun.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Really, really getting into that.
I'm finally doing the intro bits now.
That's good.
I did the thing where I found my first barn vine.
Oh, so. That's good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm yeah, you're basically up. In it now then.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, things way opened up for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah. So that's good. And then I've been playing those since 2. So,
yeah, you've had them for a while.
I've been playing this for a long time. They're so much fun. And Metroid Dread is the other one I'm playing, which I feel bad because I was thinking about this too. Like when I played that like portion during Extra Life,
mm-hmm.
it was very much between like a lot of things happening, and like I finally figured out where I needed to go, and like stuff started going down. Like the story just like completely like. Took off and all kinds of stuff. So it's been, I know last when we talked about The Artful Escape and I said about how much I loved it, and I still do. I still think it's going to be one of my top games of the year, but man, Metroid Dread is, it's creeping up there, the number one. It's just so good and so well done. And just even like the little, like, just the little like touches, like in terms of like how much they had to have thought about, like, okay, you can't go there yet because you need something. Like, we got to cut it off somehow. Let's create this thing that, you know, whatever. But just so well realized, so much fun to play all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, those two.
I have the demo for that started. And you can't save during, so I need to carve out a chunk of time to just sit down and play through as much of that as I can.
I wonder how long it is.
Yeah,
it
don't know.
It can't be that long.
I definitely died a whole bunch during that first encounter with the Emmy.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, I didn't realize they were just telling you, run away.
Yeah, you have to run away.
Yeah, yeah. Nope. I was like, I clearly have to beat it.
Yep.
And no, I got mangled
a
whole bunch.
Yeah.
So that's when I learned, just keep running.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. I used to be a one game focus on, but now the older I get, the more I'm just like, whatever's going to hold my attention this evening.
Yeah.
So I've been jumping around a lot, but the biggest one for me has been Inscription. Which we're going to have next month, I'll probably have more to say about it, even though I just beat it. But next month, we're going to have a little more general discussion about our games from this past year. But man, that thing is really fun. The card game itself is really fun because it's a deck building game. And the mechanics of that evolve in such a way that not only makes sense, but also like, oh, yeah, of course I would want to have this option now. Like, that's great. And there's various ways you can build up the deck. And I haven't had this much fun with deck building since Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think there's always a part of my brain that when I hear deck building, I go, okay, there's a part of me that loves deck building.
Yeah.
The reason I still have my Pokemon cards, quite literally sitting behind you in a closet.
Well, hopefully all that water I just spilled it doesn't get on those cards.
Don't worry, they're protected. They have double layer
of
protection.
Did you ever dive into Magic the Gathering?
No, I was never that nerd.
Yeah. My old roommate
likes
real
magic. It's totally
real deep into it. And I've played it a couple times with him, but every time we play, because there's long enough between every time we play. And the very first time we played, I was pretty sick. There was no way I was remembering all the rules. And so every time we play, I think we've played like three times now, he has to teach me the entire thing every single time. And if we ever play a fourth time, he's going to have to do it again.
So I actually found towards the end of me collecting cards, they started releasing the Team Rocket edition cards.
Oh, yeah.
In the US.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that was towards the end, but the very last set I bought were the trainers editions. Mm. So it'd be like Blaine's Pikachu or what? No, sorry, Blaine was the fire boss. Lieutenant Surge.
Ooh.
Lieutenant Surge's Pikachu. Blaine had the I'm gonna pull it. Come on.
Charizard.
I can't pull it. It's all the they have a Charizard and I had a couple of the Japanese cards when I was a kid, and so I knew those existed. I knew the Team Rocket ones existed before they came to the US. I knew the Trainers ones existed before they came to the US. And then when they finally made an English version, I bought decks of those. I found those decks that I have built. They're more or less the standard built the packs you could buy. Like, here's a pre-built deck, and I swapped a couple of ones that I had in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I have two of those, and I've always wanted to try and relearn it again. So there's probably a stream somewhere in the future where I, A, go through my cards, and B, make someone, either you or my wife, sit down and play Pokemon.
Be honest.
I'll probably make you do it at some point, but I have to relearn the game because I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah, I think my cards are at home.
Remember, energy is evolved. Anyway, it'll make more sense to me as an adult than it ever did as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep.
But yeah. Anyway, all that to say, Inscription, on top of that being the base of the game, is this really solid deck-building game that's really well fleshed out. Daniel Mullins, who's created this game, Pony Island and the Hex. There's all these games that always have these grander stories than what is presented, you know, initially.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them involve demonic possessions.
As one or goes some, through several times.
Some kind of thing to that effect. And this game is no different. And I really like where the story goes. And this one, I don't want to talk about it too much here because it's one of those games that I feel like you need to go play it. And not to mention, I think it was only $20. It's either 20 or 25 normally, and it's been on sale for 20 already. I'd go get it if any of that sounds appealing to you, or if you played Pony Island, because I think he takes it to really, really fun places. There's a lot of stuff I really want to talk about, but I'll wait a month. Maybe we'll carve out a spoiler block for that. But man, it's real, real good. I had such a good time. I literally finished it last night, and I was up until like almost 1 a.m. finishing it.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was only like 2 hours, but still, it was fantastic. Description's great. And then today I just picked up Deathloop on PS5. I'm having a good time with that. I'm really digging where it's going already. I've never played a ton of Arcane games, but the few that I've started have been really interesting. Like, yeah. I started Prey, and I really liked Prey, and then I went away for it for a while and completely forgot what was happening.
Yeah.
All right, I'll just wait for something else. Deathloop is great. I'm going to play more of that. But honestly, the biggest thing I've been playing right now is more Animal Crossing. I got that Happy Home Designer.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Home Paradise, the new DLC for it. I bought it. I didn't do the new Nintendo subscription thing where you get the N64 games that I keep hearing are kind of broken.
Yeah, that's what I've heard the same.
So I didn't really need... I have an N64 still, so it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I have almost all the games for that N64 that I would have played on there. The only thing that's appealing is maybe playing Majora's Mask in a way that won't have the N64 overheat.
Let's not melt anything.
Yeah. But I was showing Paul before we started, and I realized how absurd it is. When I play Animal Crossing, I tend to have grand ideas, but I tend to get very distracted. I get distracted very easily when I play these games. Because it's like, oh, I want to redo this path. Oh, but I want to do this first. Oh, but I want to do this. Oh, man, I got to move this house over here. I got to move this up. And so I always end up saying I'm going to do all this stuff, and I just never end up doing it. I just do the loop, and then I go pick up all my fruit, sell it, maybe build a couple of the hot items of the day, and I'm done. Or I say hi to people. I started the app that I use to take notes in. I use Notion. Free plug for them. I'm not paying them, and they're not paying me. So this is an equal transaction here. Notion also lets you do various like to-do lists, or if you're a programmer, there's Kanban boards. There's, you know, like it's like a mix between Jira for writing tickets, if you know what that is, and then like it's Wiki software like as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Trello board or any of those.
Yeah.
And then it has documentation stuff. So I wanted a to-do list, but Notion only has to-do boards, which are Kanban boards, if you know what they are. So I showed Paul that I have a Kanban board for all of my Animal Crossing ideas. And I want you to know now, Paul, that when I made this, I did die a little inside.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's because it was just like, great, I'm doing the thing that I literally do 5 days a week and get paid for. Now I'm doing it with my home life, or, you know, it's really like, it really hurt a little the first time I did it.
Part of me is very proud of you, and the other part is like wondering if I should get help, you know, like
let me tell you the flip side of the coin.
The flip side of me feeling real depressed
about doing that is that it's worked.
This is a three-sided coin. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
This works really well. I've been able to actually like sit down and go, what was I working on? Okay, great. I was going to redo. And I'm not like writing out tickets like I would for work, where I'm like, make sure that I test this and do all. I'm not testing.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that right now. It's just more of like, hey, rework the courtyard a little bit, or hey, this path is kind of janky.
Yeah, it's just
take
it's
a look at
just
that.
Something to remember.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, it's, in the time that I've started doing this, I have moved 3 villagers' houses. I have reworked paths. I have reworked the flower gardens that led into my plaza area. It's going well.
It's incredible.
Morning fog is taking off. That's my island.
That's right, morning fog.
Yep.
I don't even remember the name of my... So, in this podcast about Alan Wake, we have learned... just so we're caught up to speed.
Recap.
Podcast about Alan Wake.
Yep.
You have learned that if you want to, you know, really make your Animal Crossing island shine and sparkle, and you're trying to remember everything, and you're trying to be a great city planner.
That's right. I've been a terrible one.
Just Kanban. Kanban board.
It works. It really works.
I almost said use Notion, but then I didn't want this to turn into an ad.
Right. This is not an ad for
them. It was not an ad, although we sort of turned it into an ad.
Yeah. Well, look, you can get other Kanban boards. You can just do a to-do list for all I care.
Yeah, just...
There's plenty of those out there.
Grab a journal and...
Yeah. Yeah, you can write down a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Really, it's just a Post-it. It's a fancy Post-it.
I mean, again, that's what those have become, right?
But by God, those fancy Post-its did the job.
It's helpful.
Also, the island, the actual DLC where you go and design other people's houses is so much fun. There's... Much like I have the deck building part of my brain, I have the builder game part. And
you definitely do.
Yeah, it's hitting that real hard. I love every second of it. They give you like items that the resident will like, and then you can kind of mix and match some other stuff in there. Partition walls are a game changer. Really are.
Partitions.
I've been having a lot of fun. They give you accent walls now. Been using that to great effect.
Ooh.
Yeah, having a great time. I cannot stress enough. I know if I look on my timer that I'm probably up to 150 hours, if not 160
by now. Yeah.
I'm probably closer to 170 than I am 150 anymore. I put a lot of time in it this week.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah. So that's where I've been at.
I'm continually at a point. Like, when I think about Animal Crossing, I just think about how sad my residents are going to be that it's been this long since I've seen them. And and that fact alone just makes me not want to turn it on. I just don't want to go through it.
Look, I had to go through it. I had to do
You'd
it.
Rip the Band-Aid.
It was like 9 months or something. No, it was 6 months. It wasn't as bad. But it was still a long time.
Yeah, mine's going to be longer.
When I logged in and... You get through it that first time, and then it's just like, oh, hey, you're back.
Yep.
And that's it. And even if you don't buy the DLC, the 2.0 update really did a lot for that game. You get gyroids again.
That's the big thing.
Yep, gyroids are back. They're a lot of fun.
Yep.
There was some other ones that I can't remember what is part of the DLC and what isn't.
Yeah.
Brewster. Brewster and Cap'n. Cap'n is my new favorite character, but we can get into it. Once again, we can get into that next month. This is a podcast.
Yeah, once again, Alan Wake.
About Alan Wake. So anyway, that wraps up what we're playing currently.
Yeah.
One quick final note before we finally get into Alan Wake talk. I promise this is just a quick one. Paul and I had our first dev interaction with one of the games we talked about.
Yes.
Turns out the developers down at, Beethoven and...
Dinosaur.
Who made The Artful Escape, listened to our episode on The Artful Escape and sent us a nice little message on Twitter about it. They were totally happy. They were happy that we liked the game, and they also commented on how bad the accents were.
And Australian accents do need work.
And I will put this on tape yet again. Yes, they're awful, and I'm very sorry. I apologized immediately when it happened. I apologize again. They're a terrible accent.
Same, and I feel bad that the only thing I said in an Australian accent was throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
We just hit all the obvious
every
cliches.
Stereotypical.
Yep. So, yeah, and also, too, you know, when I just sent them a little message back saying, yes, they were terrible, and to thank them for their work on the game.
Yeah.
Because even in, like, even if the game we play is terrible, there's still a lot of people that put a lot of their life in these games.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have nothing but respect for people that, yes, that can get a game shipped. Like, it's a lot. So,
yep.
Yeah. Very, if you're listening again, once again, really appreciate it. We promise we will not do those accents this month, especially because there's no Australian characters in Alan Wake.
Not in Alan Wake.
Oh, so let's finally get to it. Enough of this distractions. Focus down on a game that I've really wanted to get to for a long time. And then, like a gift from the heavens, like a gift from Thomas Zane himself, floating in his little diver suit, floating down from the sky, we were given the remastered editions of Alan Wake.
Tommy Z himself.
Old
he wrote it.
Tommy Z.
Man,
you beat me to it. I always do that. You beat me to it this month. Damn.
I'm learning from the best.
That's right. We've done enough of these. You know what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. T Zane himself. T Zane in the membrane.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm Tommy Z.
We've peaked there.
Yep, we really have. That's
anyway, we played the remastered editions of Alan Wake this month,
yep,
which, for the record, we were going to play the regular edition, but then these happened, and we're like, yes, perfect, let's do that. And then we both played through it again.
Yeah, it worked out. It was great timing. That was, mm-hmm, that was really it at the end of the day.
Let's dilly-dally no longer. Let's get into it. It's Alan Wake.
Stephen King once wrote that nightmares exist outside of logic, and there's little fun to be had in explanations. They're antithetical to the poetry of fear. In a horror story, the victim keeps asking why, but there can be no explanation, and there shouldn't be one. The unanswered mystery is what stays with us the longest, and it's what we'll remember in the end. My name is Alan Wake. I'm a writer. I've always had a vivid imagination, but this dream unsettled me. It was wild and dark and weird, even by my standards. So yes, it began with a dream.
Alan Wake was originally released in May 18th of 2010. Oh, been over 10 years.
Those were the days.
It is wild to think that it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I was just a baby in college. You know,
same.
Good old college baby.
Good old college baby. That's right. That's what I think of.
Yep. That's the prequel to Boss Baby that you're never going to see.
College baby.
College baby. Getting his master's.
Yep.
Before
yep.
he gets that CEO position.
Those all-nighters he had to pull
yeah.
for that MBA.
We're not even through the release information part
well,
of
this. Yeah.
We're already talking about Boss Baby.
Yeah, how did Woo! That come? Oh, yeah.
My bad. Oh, anyway. Yeah. Originally released on the Xbox 360, later ported to the PC, and then re-released this year. I don't have the exact date, but it was released October. It was early. It was October 3rd or something. It was released a month ago.
I think
two
that's
ago.
What it was. Yeah, because yeah. it was.
Yeah, it was yeah. very early in October yep. on all the consoles. It was on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, as well as PS4 and the Xbox One series of consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Wake is, of course, developed by Remedy, the people behind the Max Payne series. They did Quantum Break, which nobody remembers, and that's okay, because Control came along and did it so much better.
Oh, that's funny. My sister just texted me yesterday and said she's playing through Quantum Break right now.
Oh, really? Yeah. I would love
to
hear that.
She's really getting into the Remedy verse.
Good. I mean, that's Alan Wake was the one that did it for me, too.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to play Quantum Break, but that was, like, A, I didn't have an Xbox at the time.
Yeah,
that was
right.
exclusive then. But I do have a. I think it's on Game Pass still, right?
It is, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, I thought about just checking it out.
Probably should.
It's pretty
even,
short. I don't think it's very. Like,
yeah.
A long game.
I mean, they definitely took a lot of those ideas and put it into Control.
Yeah,
but
right.
I'm still curious about it. Yeah, but Remedy makes. Remedy, especially with Alan Wake, originally did Max Payne on PC, Max Payne 1 and 2, Max Payne 3, not developed by them. That's Rockstar alone. Did that, or one of the Rockstar studios took over Max Payne after that. But they've always been known for like their storytelling, and I would say probably Alan Wake was the one that caught my attention with their style of storytelling. And also, Alan Wake was the beginning of games that led me to believe that I need to watch Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm. Because between that and, like, Control had a little bit of that too. And then a lot of other things that I like. Well, Deadly Premonition was one. Even though Deadly Premonition is weird, it still makes me think I should watch Twin Peaks.
It was.
It's what made
the
me...
little that I watched you play was bizarre.
Oh, it's yeah,
and that's pretty great.
Not even the good stuff.
Yeah,
it's just the weirdest part.
Yep.
I've gotten through season one, and I know that season two is when it gets, it's when it pops off, and I need to get through that. And I will do it. It's like what I say about the prequels. I'm gonna do it. I know there's gonna be something in there that I'm just like, yes, I need to see this through. Anyway, so
yeah, if we're talking about the Star Wars prequels, the third one is the best of them. They're not good.
Yeah,
but the third one is the best.
Man, I started too.
Yeah, that that's dog shit.
That was a slog.
Yeah, it's bad.
Ugh, that's another conversation.
Very much another conversation. Yeah.
What I don't want to get into.
Yeah, I started Twin Peaks, but it was the same. I thought the same thing. It was just I was watching it with like a friend, and then we didn't continue watching it for some reason. Mm-hmm. But it's one that I always wanted to get back to because I really enjoyed like the premise and all of that, and I agree, like that's pretty much all the vibes I got, you know. Yeah. when I was playing through Alan Wake was very heavily Twin Peaks inspired.
Yeah, it's Twin Peaks and it's Stephen King.
Yeah,
those are the two biggest influences, and they tell you that when you play it on director commentary as well, which I did a little bit and then went back to normal.
Yeah, but that would be pretty fun to do with a game.
Oh, they do it. If you,
yeah, I
you,
saw that.
Have you messed with that mode at all?
I haven't, but I saw it was there.
Yeah, it's really neat because they have like they'll put a picture up of who's talking
okay.
to let you know, like, okay, this is Sam Lake. This is the head of Remedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Telling you about like what helped him create the universe or whatever.
The events of the game take place in the Pacific Northwest region of the United States. This is a beautiful region that has in the past been featured in numerous TV shows and movies like The Shining and Twin Peaks. It's famous and recognizable for many things like fishing and mining and huge redwood tree trunks the size of a bus, beautiful lighthouses. But I think the most recognizable and beautiful feature is the nature. It's an oceanic climate combined with huge mountain ranges and dark forests. The cool thing about it is that there's an enormous amount of moisture constantly flowing in from the Pacific Ocean, and when it hits the mountains, it turns into fog. So the end result of that is that almost everywhere you look, there's these dense wisps of fog lazily crawling on the mountains and hillsides, and it really lends the area an almost otherworldly feel.
Or like, there was like, I remember one of the other ones I listened to before I shut it off was him talking about, because they're a Finnish developer.
Mm.
They, growing up in Finland, all of your entertainment is just from America.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's nothing else.
It's yeah.
So they grew up on this diet of, like, American entertainment and learning about Stephen King and you know, Twin Peaks and things like that. That's what drove them to make this universe. But so the story or the setting of Alan Wake takes place inside of a small, what would we say, like Pacific Northwestern
yeah,
town
yeah.
of Bright Falls. You play as the titular Alan Wake, who is a writer who writes kind of like these, like the kind of more
like pulpy detective.
Pulp detective, like gritty action books.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my favorite Easter eggs that I found out early on in the game is you'll pick up these pages. And we'll probably explain a little more about the pages in a second.
Yeah.
But you find pages of his book at one point, these books he's written. And whenever there's a voiceover that reads it, and the first one that gets read is not Alan's voice, it's the character's voice. And I found out that that is the voice of Max Payne.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that was already Remedy planting the seeds in these connected universes.
Mm.
So the Max Payne voiceover guy reads all the main characters. And all of the books that Alan writes are basically Max Payne-style action plots.
Yeah.
Too.
Even the books even look like.
Yeah.
Like at least Max Payne, like 1 and 2, like what the covers look like.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So it's, I always liked that little wink and nod to their grander universe. And
yep.
Now it's confirmed that everything exists in one universe. But Ellen is having some writer's block, trying to work on his latest novel. He and his wife, Alice, who is she a photographer or just an artist?
I can't remember.
She does a lot of his covers, and then she has also taken the photos for like his publicity.
Yes.
So I feel like she's kind of like a jack of all trades when it comes to that kind of stuff, but she's the more artistic looking one.
Yes.
She's design covers. She's, you know, stuff. They have gone to this small town to try to just get away from the work for a little bit, have him just relax and maybe come back and he'll be refreshed. That's what Ellen thinks anyways. When they get to Bright Falls, Alice reveals that the reason she chose the place is that there's actually a therapist in town that works with creative types, and that she signed him up to go meet him because Dr. Hartman is his name. She thinks that would be helpful. And Ellen's like, what the hell? I don't need this shit. I just want to get away for a little bit. Give me a break.
Yep.
And so that's an early altercation that you have at your vacation home.
Yeah, basically just starts the narrative.
Yeah.
Narrative.
It's the kickoff to the big story.
Yeah.
You are staying in this little cabin, which exists on this tiny little island, which we think is called Diver's Island.
Diver's Isle.
Diver's Isle, yeah. We didn't take it. I normally take a lot of notes if it's a game I haven't played, but Alan Wake is a game I've played through 2 or 3 times now, so I know the basis of the story. Yeah. So I'm not going to take a ton of notes while coming from memory here. So you stay on Diver's Island. When you get to the island, Alan and Alice have that fight about the therapist. Alan leaves for a little bit, but stays on the island. But the lights go out at one point. You hear Alice scream. Alan runs back into the house. He sees there's just a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And he runs through and he sees Alice getting pulled under the water into the lake. So he dives in after her to try and save her. Cut to an undisclosed amount of time later, he wakes up. She's nowhere to be found.
He's in a wrecked car.
In a wrecked car, almost off a cliff.
Off a cliff, yeah, right.
Yep. Boom. Story begins, more or less. Before we jump more into the story, I want to point out a couple of things. Alice is afraid of the dark. That is pointed out early on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key component of the story going forward, is people's characters... affinity or a lack of affinity towards the darkness that will come into play. Bright Falls, quaint little town with there's Deer Fest coming up. That's the big town event that brings all the tourists in. I really like that a lot.
Yep.
There's like, you'll see banners all over the city for it. I thought that was really fun. A couple of notes on the remaster one versus the original, because I've played both. Paul, you've only played
the remaster. Yep.
So the biggest thing that people have commented on between the two has been the faces. Like some of the remastered, all the faces get touched up a little bit. Some are a bit more touched up than others. For the most part, I am on the side that I think the remastered faces are better.
Yeah.
But the problem is that those remastered faces are on animations from the Xbox 360.
Right. So they're, right.
So
while they may look better, there's still some weirdness.
Yeah. It just sort of increases the uncanny valley-ness of it all. It's the very stilted animations because they probably weren't mo-capped. They were probably hand done or whatever at the time. So that I think hurts it. I think Ellen's face is actually a big improvement, even though his eyes,
to me, it's his upper lip. He just like has no upper lip, and it's just bizarre.
I never really honed in on that's funny.
You'll probably see it the next time and won't be able to unsee it. But there's something strange about it. Anyway,
I always thought his the original appearance looked weirder to me.
Yeah, but probably.
Yeah, I've seen comparisons of Alice in both, and I don't I don't see the difference as much as some people think she looks. I think she looks fine in this one. Like, it looks like a slightly more modern take on that.
Yeah.
All the other characters look pretty similar.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, this is not a Grand Theft Auto trilogy remastered situation where those things look abysmal.
Yeah.
This is a much better.
And you can't see through the rain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. This is a much better take on updating some art a little bit. Everything else, though, it plays exactly the same as it did back in the day. Like, I think it's a pretty well done remaster.
Yeah.
In terms of everything else. So it's very faithful to the original. I'm pretty sure it's the exact same engine, just tuned up a little bit. So that helps a lot. It wasn't Remedy that did the remake. It was another studio, I think, called D3T that did the remaster for them. But obviously, Remedy was there to provide input.
Right.
Yeah. And so if you're one of those people that is worried about which version to play, is it authentic? You're totally going to get the exact same experience playing this game as you would if you played the original. You don't have to worry about that stuff. The little art changes aside really don't change the overall story and the playing of the game.
Yeah, and I would almost say that any additions, and somebody who has not played the original, but like any additions to the game, I think were intended to only add to this sense of like, this is in the universe of like the entire Remedy universe,
right?
Or the Control universe, you know, whatever.
That actually is a good point. And we will bring up the one thing that I know for sure that they added.
Right.
Because we kind of have to get to the part in the story. I realize I want to talk about gameplay, but in order to do that, we have to get to the point in the story where you're actually introduced to actual combat.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's just in the beginning, it's walk around, get to the story point. After you wake up again, where your car is almost off the cliff, you have to get to. I think you have to get back to town and just tell someone. You're given a flashlight and that's it. As you run through the woods, which that's a big portion of this game,
yes.
Is running through various wooded areas.
Yep. A lot of woods.
Yeah. You run into your first shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call them, but I'm not sure if they're just called the shadows, I think. And they are your main enemies throughout the whole game. There's variations on that we'll get to, I think, you know, but basically they hate light. So the main gameplay loop in this game when it comes to combat is you have your flashlight and various upgrades of the flashlight. You'll point it at them to weaken them to a point that they can actually take damage. And then between either the use of like guns, like pistols, shotguns, take them out that way, or you can even use flare guns, which are like the OP weapon.
Yeah.
Which
they're a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, the flare guns are the best part.
Yeah.
Or the flashbang grenades.
Yes,
also a lot of fun,
also great. Yeah.
But light is your best weapon here. And whenever you're running through the woods, you eventually hit like these small little lampposts.
Yep.
And those are like your checkpoint system.
Yeah.
So you get to that, as long as you're in the light, you heal up again, which I always really liked.
Yeah.
One of the things I forgot about playing Remedy playing Alan Wake, knowing Remedy games and having played Control, should have remembered this, but I forgot. This game gets hard.
Yeah.
Control is very much, there are moments where I had to put it down and go away and do other things. Because of how frustrating some of the encounters are. And Alan Wake is no different in that regard. There were several segments where I would have to redo it about 7 or 8 times. Because I just took two. Like, I'll get trapped into a corner near a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have two of those shadow guys with, like, pickaxes or whatever just wailing on me.
Yep.
Oh, I would hate that so much. The big guys, the ones that charge you later on and they take a lot of hits.
Yeah.
They were rough.
Yeah, they are. I the nice thing about my, call it OCD or whatever, is that like I kept like going off and like, you know, rather than just sort of staying on the main path, although toward the end I basically just stayed on the main path because I understood, like, again, we'll get to the manuscript pages, but like those are generally just on the path. You don't have to worry about like them being off on the edge of the map or anything. But there were a lot of like chests with flare guns and like all that kind of stuff. So luckily I felt like I had enough, you know, for those sort of like larger battles or whatever. Because at some points, you know, the battle is against a possessed machine. So it's,
yeah,
you know, it's a backhoe that's coming at you or, you know, like whatever.
Because the shadows can possess certain things and it will possess certain town folk as well.
Yes.
Like that's also kind of part of it too. The shadow people are town folk.
Right.
That have been possessed by this darkness.
Yep.
Maybe that's what they keep calling it.
Some of them are, yeah, it is the darkness. But some people, sorry, I was just thinking of the darkness and the band. although that town is on a one-way ticket to hell and back.
Uh-huh.
They bought a one-way ticket to hell and back. Anyway, it is funny because like there are the characters, you'll meet those characters or some of the townsfolk, you know, earlier on in the game or, you know, at some point. And then you hear their possessed version later on, and it's just like they're basically just giving like quips for their like whatever business they own, like
that's amazing.
Used car salesman or like whatever.
Some of their quips
I do love
are
it.
Fantastic.
It really is.
Like, I'm pretty sure there's one that's like a travel agent or something.
Yep.
There's definitely one that was just like. The town is a little chilly this time of year or something like that. Like,
yep.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, their quips are fantastic. And then they're going to start wailing on you unless you
make sure you bring plenty of water when you're hiking along beautiful Bright Falls. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
I always remember I'm Carl Stuckey.
Yes. Yes.
He's like one of the first ones you run into.
Yep.
But let's talk about the manuscript pages, because that's kind of the next thing you hit in the story other than the people infected by the darkness. You start finding these pages that you have written, but you don't remember writing them. And they're about the things that are happening to you.
Yes.
And so these are one of the collectibles in the game, is the manuscript pages. The other one being the coffee thermoses.
The coffee thermoses,
which
yeah.
I found out I only collected like about half of them, and I thought I was doing really well.
I should have looked up. I meant to take a screenshot of that to see like how many I did. Because I think I did actually pretty well, but I don't really remember.
No. Yeah, I was a little over half because there's 100 of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
I think I got into the 80s, actually.
Oh, wow.
I got a lot of them.
You did a lot better than I did.
Well, again, OCD or whatever.
Yeah, you were running off the main path quite a bit for that. A lot of the story is Alan trying to figure out, A, where Alice went, and B, where are all these pages coming from that he wrote and he doesn't remember doing it.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of hit the story beat by beat here as best we can. But I'm trying to remember like the important parts of any other mechanics. I was going to say in terms of the combat, it's the same thing where it's flashlight and darkness.
Yep.
It's always some form of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's like driving segments where you have to just do the same thing in a car, but you can also just hit him with the car, which I did every time.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yep. There were so many times where I stuck around in an area because I was like, I didn't hit that person. And I want to.
Yep.
You can even boost the car lights too. Yeah. So they act the same way as the flashlight.
Yeah. Because the flashlight also acts as your reticle when you aim.
Yes.
Yep. Also want to point out too that Alan is not a fighter. He's a man that's never shot a gun before.
Yeah. He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. I guess so. He seems like he'd love Coke.
That's really, yeah.
He's
yeah.
not that
he
guy.
He definitely loves alcohol. He loves his alcohol.
He's a booze hound.
He's a bit of a booze hound.
A little nip or two in the. But
he has two nips.
Oh, God.
There we go.
He was. That one threw me off. I'll
He's
get back
fighter.
To it.
He's not a fighter.
Okay.
Never shot a gun before.
Never shot a gun before, and it shows in how Alan handles things. He's not very fast. He can only sprint for so long, and then he tires out, and so you have to stop running.
He's very winded.
He's not the
which,
best at shooting.
Unlike Spartans, which are. Fucking super soldiers
mm-hmm.
who have to have a goddamn
We're going to talk about this in every
episode.
It's
going to keep coming back.
And we should. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Genetically modified soldiers need a button that they can latch onto their suit to go, this is my run fast
button.
I
got to run for a little bit.
Yep. I'm literally built to be pure muscle and skill.
And but, I can't run.
But I can't jog a little bit quicker unless I push my go fast button.
Anyway. So, you know, unlike a Spartan super soldier, Alan, it's understandable. Alan can't run for very long.
Yeah. You would expect, and I understand sometimes people get annoyed by that stuff, but I'm okay as long as there's a justification.
I completely agree.
Yeah. It reminds me of Silent Hill 2. Like, James in Silent Hill 2 is terrible at combat, but he's just a dude.
Yep.
He's a dude that is extremely tormented, and rightfully so. Man, I want to talk about Silent Hill 2 some other time. I love that game so much. Anyway, and James can only run for so long because he's not like an athlete or anything, and he gets winded. He also has my favorite winded animation in the game, but that's a side note for another game. It's very ridiculous. I love it so much. Silent Hill 2 is great. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
Alan Wake. Back to Alan. Yeah, he's not that, so his combat is very, like, you're basically taught early on to dodge, and you will need to use it.
Yes.
It is a little annoying later on whenever you have to dodge about 6 times and you trigger that Matrix slow-mo dodge.
Yes.
And sometimes it'll happen, like, 4 times in a row. You're like, I get it. Just let me get through the battle.
Yes.
I know I'm good at dodging.
But for how much he's not a fighter, he shoots a lot of people in the head.
He does. I mean, he does pick up on headshots quickly.
He's great at aiming.
He's
an aimer, not a fighter.
that's always my one criticism of the game is I'm like, I really wish there was another way to do, like, the guns I never liked. Because, like, why does he have a gun? It doesn't make sense. Like, the flare gun was great. Give me the variations of the light weapons I love.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Having here's some bullets. We do shooting games.
Yep.
So, but I'll give them, it was their first game after Max Payne where it was just shooting bullets in Matrix time. So they had to put a little bit of both of those things in Alan Wake. Right. I get it. Like, Control, I feel like, is the natural evolution of that because you get to a point where, yes, I have a shooting gun, but it's a magical shooting gun.
Yeah, there you go.
And it makes sense in this world.
Yeah.
Okay, I can live with that.
Yep.
Anyway, you can see the evolution there. Fine. Want to talk about that. That's really the last gameplay loop. The other thing that really was frustrating is whenever objects are possessed by the darkness and they hover up and get you.
Yes.
That is like an RNG of physics because sometimes you can just get out of the way, it's fine. And other times you get hit once, it'll knock something else into you and then just get ready for the propane tank to come at your head.
Yes.
Oh my God. There's that one in a barn. Do you remember the one? It was like, it's a block of TVs.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Put together, and then a bunch of other stuff gets
whole sequence was badass, but at the same time, annoying as hell.
It was
just very cool, like what they were trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, storytelling part of that was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The gameplay part, whoa.
Yes.
I restarted that like 9 or 10 times.
Yeah, I did as well.
It was so
rough. It took
rough.
So many times. But I did. Yeah, any of those. Because sometimes, too, it was, like, inevitable. There's no way you're, like, it was a giant wagon or something that was coming at you. There's no way you can move.
It's always this freaking cable, like, the wooden wheel things that they kind of wrap cables and
around.
Yeah. I don't know what you call those.
Yeah,
things,
like the spools.
The spools, the big old spool things.
Yeah.
I'd always get one of those get me.
Yep.
Oh, I hated. Those are the ones I hated so much.
Yeah, especially when there were just, like, several at once. Yeah, like you were saying at the beginning.
Yeah, the ones where they just kind of like physics you into a corner and then just
gang
like,
up on you. All these inanimate objects.
There's six steel beams coming at you.
Yeah. What did I ever do to these steel beams?
Anyway. So that's the gameplay. I just wanted to get that out of the way because I kind of want to power through the story. If anything comes up, we'll touch on it in terms of the gameplay, but that's all kind of the same.
Yes.
It's the story stuff that's the most fun and the most important.
Yeah.
So I want to go, I'm not going to get too deep into nitty gritty details, but let's kind of do the overarching story here. So Alan has to fight his way through the woods after in the wreck, finding those manuscript pages that describe everything that's happening and a couple of things that happen in the future, but he doesn't know that's going to happen yet.
Yeah.
He makes his way back to town and gets to the sheriff, who I cannot remember her name now.
Sarah.
Yes, that is her name. Yeah. Yep. Sarah Chambers.
Yes.
And she's just like, whoa, dude, are you okay? You've been in an accident. You're bleeding.
Yeah.
And he's just like, wife, in a lake. I was in a cabin. And she tells you, Alan, what are you talking about? Or Mr. Wake, what are you talking about? There's been a cabin there in like 100 years.
Yeah.
Like that island, there was like some volcanic eruption or something.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And
I think so.
The island was basically like kind of fell into the lake. And you're like, what? No, come on, I'll take you there. You guys both get to that point and it's gone.
It's gone. Yep.
So you're just, and then end of episode one. That's the other thing that I meant to bring up. It was an episodic game before episodic games really existed.
Yeah.
Kind of. There was some, like, it was right around that time where I think people were experimenting with it.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if they wanted to do it as a release, kind of like when the first Hitman game, the newer World of Assassination or whatever, Hitman 2016 came out, and they did episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, and they gave it time in between. Part of me wants to think that they wanted to do that originally and release them in chunks.
Yeah.
And then have them as one, and then Microsoft was footing the bill at the time. It was like, yeah, no, you're going to make them.
Just do one. Yeah.
So I think it would be really fascinating to see if they could have pulled that off.
I agree, because that's, I mean, everyone ended with a cliffhanger. Like, you were you were very much like, oh, no, what the heck's going to happen next?
And then, always had a fun little musical cue.
Yep, end of episode one. And then, and, like, the music in this, like,
good
Roy Orbison and, like, just, like, big name people.
Oh, yeah.
In here. So, like, that music budget had to have been pretty substantial.
Yeah. And what's amazing to me, I mean, David Bowie's in it.
Yeah, David Bowie. Yeah.
They got the David Bowie recording that Metal Gear Solid 5 didn't even get. They just got a cover of the David Bowie song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you hit the end of the first episode. And I always love that because it gives you, like, this nice little chunk of, like, okay, it also lets you know, like, oh, I hit a very important story beat here.
Yes.
Like, this was good. All right. Set myself up for the next one.
Yep.
Also a nice way to be like, well, I'm going to stop playing here tonight.
Yeah, it really was. And it's the whole song, too. Like,
the end of the episode, the whole song.
You're just sitting there for, like, 3 or 4 minutes.
See, I knew that nothing was going to happen.
Yeah.
So I just skipped it.
Yeah.
I was just going to the next one. And they give you a recap, too.
Yep.
And what's nice about the recap is it does the thing most of those TV shows that do the recaps do, which is they give you the information that is pertinent to that chapter.
Sort of foreshadowing.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, remember this chunk of information? You're going to need it.
Yeah. Make sure you remember.
So after you find Sarah Chambers and you get to the island, I'm trying to remember if that's when Barry shows up. Does Barry show up in chapter 2 or chapter 3?
It's earlier. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, well, yeah, one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Barry is your agent.
Yep.
Who is a giant goofball.
Yeah.
He's very much the levity character
in this game. Yep.
I love Barry a lot.
Yeah.
But after, and you might need to help me with this. So after the, what was it? Because I remember there's the part where he does go see Hartman at some point.
Yeah.
And I want to say Barry is the one that tells him to.
Well, he ends up passing out.
Right. That was there's this whole scene where, like, the FBI shows up.
Yes.
And I don't remember why FBI. There's the Agent Nightingale shows up.
Well, I don't think anybody really understands why.
Okay. Yeah. The FBI shows up because they think Alan murdered someone.
Yeah. I'm assuming it was, like, it's high profile because he's a famous writer.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah. No one really knows why the FBI got called in.
Yeah.
But there's this whole sequence where it leads to him, like, basically running away from the police. The FBI agent Nightingale is, like, super trigger happy.
Yeah. So he ends up almost shooting the radio. Oh, that's it. He ends up going to the radio station.
Yeah, that's the next one he's doing. Is yes. He met the local in-town radio DJ when he was coming in on the barge or whatever. And he wanted to do an interview. And he was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But he found out through the grapevine that the radio DJ guy would probably be the best source of information about Thomas Zane, who is this name that kept popping up in these manuscript pages.
Yes.
Thomas Zane was another writer that... Was he from Bright Falls?
I don't think so. Actually, he might have been. Yeah,
he did live there at one point.
But he was on Diver's Isle originally. He became obsessed with diving.
Yeah, Thomas was a diver. It was named Diver's Isle because of him going there and doing the diving there.
Yeah,
and he was also a writer himself.
Yep.
And I want to say he came to that town at one point to either get away from writing or focus on the writing. I don't know, but do the diving as well. But he keeps showing up in these pages that Alan has written, and he thinks that finding out about Zane would be the key to figuring out where Alice is.
Right.
And the darkness. Yeah. One of the nights you're running to the radio station while being chased by the FBI, who just assume that you've murdered Alice, because as you found out, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been
since the incident. So when you woke up in the car, it was 2 weeks, and Alan has no idea what happened in those 2 weeks. So he is between trying to figure out where Zane is, he's also trying to recount his steps in that time because he has no idea. So you get to the radio station after going through the woods again and dealing with the people possessed by the darkness. Big old confrontation there. I like that the FBI agent, Agent Nightingale, would always call you some other writer's name.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I thought that was good too. Like Hemingway, Orwell, or whatever.
Hey, Hemingway, Why don't you get out here? Yeah, we'll talk about this.
Yeah, it was always very good.
Hey, Poe, put down the quill and get out of here. You know, it was so ridiculous. I loved that so much.
Yep.
And I want to say after that confrontation is where you pass out because you dive through a window to get away from the FBI.
Yeah.
And the whole time, like, the local police, Sarah Chambers, is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This isn't like you are being ridiculous right now.
To Nightingale.
To Nightingale. Yeah,
yeah. Not to.
Yeah, not to Alan. She's not talking to Alan.
Pretty much everybody is sympathizing with Alan.
Yeah, and this guy is just like, no, I'm hauling his ass in.
Yeah.
He's a murderer.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the cool things, too, that I liked. So had the confrontation with, or not confrontation, but like sought help from the local radio station guy. I can't remember his name right now, but what I thought was cool is that for the next couple of times, there's like a radio nearby. Like you hear his show, and he like says, like, you know, to the person who came into my station last night, like, you know, I'm here for you if you need, or, you know, like, whatever, just sort of like, I don't know. There was like the network there. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. That's another collectible. And another thing to mention here as well is that there are radios you can turn on in the game, and they play the local DJ shows.
Yes.
And it's another little instance of world building and thing. I love that they do these little nods in all their games. And I love that.
Yep.
So yeah, every time
because that's in one of the radio things, they're talking about one guy's talking about his friend who's like an alcoholic, and he like disappeared when they couldn't find him.
Right.
And then that guy comes up later on in the game, and it's like, oh, this was it. Like,
yeah, if you capture all
this, it's
just
very, very cool. Yeah,
that's what I love about that, because if you get that information, like, oh man, they just built out the universe a little bit more. And if you didn't get that, like, it's not going to affect
your story. Yeah, it's not going to change anything, but it's still you now know who that person is.
Exactly. Right? You have the story behind it. I love that.
And the
other thing that they do, which is my personal favorite thing, is the Night Springs TV shows.
Yes.
There are TVs you find. And Night Springs is 100% the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is unabashedly the Twilight Zone. Yeah. Alan even wrote for Night Springs. That's how he got his start.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Because Barry likes to bring that up. Hey, you know, and Night Springs was based on Bright Falls. Like, Bright Falls was the inspiration for Night Springs, and Alan wrote for Night Springs. So that's a fun little tie-in there. Yeah. There are many of them throughout the level you can get. I always love because you can tell it's the devs getting a chance to film themselves. They're like, oh, cool, we get to make our own thing.
Yeah.
Which is something they would continue to do, and I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
The one I remember, one of the episodes of Night Springs is one of my favorite ones. It's very Twilight Zone. Is there's a physicist. I don't know if it's very early on if you got this one.
I think I got this
one. He's a physicist that is doing a press conference, and he has this gun. He goes and
it's
like he shoots to show it's real, and he shoots again at his head, and nothing happens. And he shoots again to show that it's real. And he's developed this, like, it's like the infinite worlds theory.
Yeah.
Or infinite, yeah, where it's.
Multiverse
theory, yeah. Where he's like, look, I have this thing that I figured out that has enabled it so that of all the possible dimensions where this is happening right now, it will always be the universe in which I am never going to die. So I can do this as many times as I want. And people are like, oh man, you're playing God. And my favorite thing is at one point where the reporter knocks the plug out of the wall.
Yep.
He's like, oh dang. And at this point, the reporters are getting on this guy's nerves. And he's like, can't you see? I figured it out. I am God or something like that. Like, he's getting so worked up, and he goes to shoot himself again. And the thing hasn't been plugged in. And then he dies.
Yep, and then he dies. That's the end of it.
Oh, my God. And it's like, this is Twilight Zone stuff.
So many bizarre ones. I remember there was, like, these two, like, middle-aged ladies, like, gonna have a wine night or something like that. Or no, the one lady was like, yeah, check out this weird thing in my basement. Like, in the basement, there's just, like, a portal to hell or somewhere. Like, I don't know. A lot of just very silly.
Yep.
That was a cool aside thing.
And I liked it, too, because you could very much tell that they had to film it, but then do all of the voice lines later. Over top of it.
Yep.
Oh, that was so good. And that's something that I feel like whenever Control came out, they really did well, because you play Control, you're gonna recognize one voice in particular.
Nice.
Especially having played this game, and he's my favorite of the videos you see in Control.
Okay.
Oh man, having played Alan Wake made me appreciate Control so much more.
Yeah, because I'm excited to.
I know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
But yeah, those little collectibles did so much to build that world out.
Yeah.
I loved it so much. So after the confrontation at the radio station, you get taken to Dr. Hartman's facility.
Yes.
And you're kind of taken there against your will.
Yes.
And Hartman tries to, like, sit you down and be like, cool teacher sitting on the chair backwards.
Yeah.
Listen, man, let's rap.
It's Dead Poets Society. Yeah.
That's right. He's Robin Williams.
He's
just trying to get on your good side.
Yep.
Now, why don't you come with me? We'll reacquaint you with my clinic and go over everything you might have forgotten. Little walk and some fresh air? Yes, it will do you good. This corridor is for patients. Most of them aren't here right now. Jack took them out for a fishing trip. Except for the ones who are particularly vulnerable, of course. I encourage creativity as a part of the recovery process here at Cauldron Lake Lodge. I specialize in treating artists.
I bet you do.
And then you know, and he has a room for you to write in, and you don't really want to write in it. I feel like there's also implications that he's also just trying to write your next book for you, or co-authorship or something.
It turns out that he's in on the darkness.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yep.
So he is, like, whether feeding off of it or, you know, something like that, he has already become.
Yeah, he's been possessed by it. And so that's playing into the darkness's grander scheme at foot.
Yes, right, yes.
Which we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
And so Barry shows up to try to help you bust out, but I feel like other darkness shows up and, like, literally busts through the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, I remember because
the
furniture
and
stuff,
all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's swirling. Yeah.
So, like, you just escape out of Hartman's.
Well, right before that, it's probably important to note, is when you meet you meet Thor and like the old metal dudes.
The old metal dudes who you met a little bit early on in the diner.
Yes.
But you find out they're at Hartman's too, because they used to be an old
what was it
old Norwegian metal.
The Old Gods?
Is that yeah, I think they were the, just called the Old Gods.
Yeah. Which
they're
sets
amazing.
Up my favorite scene of the entire game, for sure.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
The battle sequence?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. We'll get to that.
Yep. I love that one a lot. So, yeah, you see them. I feel like that whole scene's a nod to One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
It very much
so
felt
breaking
like,
out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, felt like that.
The loony bin.
Or even when you go in and see the people.
Yeah.
Talking to the people. It feels very much like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just recently saw One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest again,
yeah.
too. So.
I think that's, I mean, it's an important, maybe not an important thing to say. Well, yeah. It's like this game does a very good job of like referencing pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of like it's like the slant rhyme version of referencing pop culture. Like it's not a one to one.
Yeah, they're nods to it.
Yes,
but they're not straight up. Just like, well, here's the thing, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're not just copying
it's
that
Simpsons
thing.
Versus Family Guy.
Yes, absolutely.
I should say season 10 and before Simpsons.
Yes,
because everything after is just all the same.
It's on the nose.
Yep. Hey, look at that. We got the celebrity, and here's the celebrity as celebrity.
Yep.
I can't do it. I can't keep talking about New Simpsons here. I'm still upset by it. So after you break out, I'm trying to think where you go from there. Is that when you try to find, you found enough manuscript pages to know about the older lady that you had met at the diner?
Yes.
Because she, as it turns out from picking up these manuscript pages and learning more about Thomas Zane, she knew Thomas Zane. Oh,
and
okay.
Was in love with him.
Yeah.
Well, she was the muse.
Right. So she it was the keeper muse. Of the light. Is you keep hearing references to the keeper
yeah,
of the
which
light.
Is a different person, but
right.
Yes.
I thought that was her.
We might be talking about.
I think
the
we are talking
at the diner.
Are you talking about the waitress that was in love with Alan?
No.
Okay. Now I'm talking about the one that was scared of the darkness.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I
we
was
are talking
about the darkness lady.
Yeah. We are talking about her.
Yes.
I thought she was also the keeper of the light.
No. So there's the keeper of the light. Mm-hmm. There's like Zane's muse, mm-hmm. who is like the lady with the veil, the black veil.
Oh, okay.
In the darkness.
Okay.
At the
That's not who
the,
I was.
In the diner. Yeah, yeah.
Right. That's not
we,
who
we've,
I was.
We're, yeah.
Yeah.
We,
my bad.
We're all on the same page now.
Okay, I did not realize that's who they were talking about. Yeah. I thought they were still talking about the little other lady.
Well, she was in love with...
She was in love with Thomas Zane.
Yes, the Keeper of the Light was in love with Thomas Zane, but it did not... Like, he scorned her.
Okay.
Rebuffed her.
Okay, yeah. Let's... All right, so to provide context for this conversation,
yeah, sorry.
You find out about this Keeper of the Light. You've been getting messages throughout this game. You'd like... Hidden in the darkness, if you've shown your flashlight in certain things, you would see this like bioluminescent paint.
Yes.
Or luminescent paint, not bioluminescent.
Yeah.
Anyway, and if you followed it, they would give you these like weapon crates. You know, usually get a bunch of flares and make things easier for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
About halfway through the game, you realize that logo that you would see, the torch logo, is the logo of the electric company in town.
Yes.
So like, I think the Keeper of the Light lives there. So after you break out, you're heading there next because you're thinking, well, they have to know something about Thomas Zane. When you eventually work your way to there, that's when you find out it is this just little older lady that you had run into in the diner in like the first scene in the
Very
game.
Beginning of the game, yeah.
And she had said something about like, oh, can you, you know, watch yourself
the
in the dark.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
get hurt in the darkness.
Yeah.
And you find out, oh, yeah, she's totally the Keeper of Light. And that environment that where she's at, like that underground bunker of this, it's like the electric company was built in sort of like a dam.
Yeah.
That wasn't getting used as a dam anymore, at least not for hydroelectric energy or whatever. So it's just this giant underground bunker where there's just every light you could possibly imagine
yeah.
on. Like there's literally no shadow. Everything is lit. There's just string lights. There's lamps. There's torches. It's I love that so much.
It's funny that you said that they're Finnish. I didn't realize that, but it's funny because like her home inside the power company is very like. I got it off from IKEA, like very Norwegian looking, or just Scandinavian looking, I guess I should say. But so anyway, that's just an aside,
okay,
but I thought it was funny.
I didn't pick up on that, but that's a good,
I only picked up on it because you said something about it.
Yeah,
so look at us working together.
filling in those gaps.
Teamwork.
Yay. Making that dream work.
Making the old dream work.
Oh, God. At that point, too, you are, you've met up with Sarah and Barry again.
Yeah, they're all with you.
Yep. Is this the point where Barry has started wearing Christmas lights?
Yes.
Okay.
Or it's, if it's immediately afterward, because he then, because the Keeper of the Light, like.
I was trying to figure out. Understand. So the battle that you and I both know what I'm talking about, is that before this?
I was also wondering that.
Because I'm trying to remember how they get there.
Yes, it would be before.
It was. Yeah, okay. So we jumped a little ahead because Barry and Ellen first are trying to get somewhere else.
Well, yeah, so that's what it is. The old gods, those two old dudes.
Yeah.
Say to Alan that they know what's going on. They know about the darkness and all that stuff. Like, go to their farm. They'll help out.
That's right. They tell you to go to the farm.
Yes.
And that's where they go first.
Yes. And on their farm is like stadium bleachers and like a gigantic,
they have like a festival stage.
Yeah. Like a festival stage. Thank you. Yeah. That's
full lighting, full pyro.
Yeah.
All of the crops have like fireworks set up in them.
Yes.
And that is like the stage is set for like a horde battle.
Right.
And so like you'll start, and the best part is like they have their music and show on tape.
Yep.
So you start the tape. Yeah, Barry stays in like the engineer booth.
Yeah, he's like the DJ for it.
And he starts the light and the music up, and so you have his whole horde battle sequence with the darkness where like fireworks are going off and like metal music is playing. It's amazing.
It's so cool. It's so much fun. Yep.
Not to mention you feel entirely OP because you have so much at your disposal.
Absolutely. It's like just an insane arsenal.
Yeah, you can like run through stuff, a set of fireworks, and it'll just like keep blasting away the people. That's one of the most fun. Yeah.
So much fun.
That one is like it's like the palate cleanser fight. You're like, oh man, this is fun.
Yeah, right.
And, like, you feel great, and then you go and get mauled in the woods or something.
In the woods, yep.
So, yeah, it's after that they get tipped off about the Keeper of the Light. I think that's where they find out about it.
Yeah.
Because they're not there, but there's info there about that. And that, you meet up with Sarah again. They take you to the Keeper.
Barry and Sarah. Barry's falling in love with Sarah.
Oh, totally. And he is wrapped in Christmas lights at this point.
Yeah.
Because that is his... His Christmas lights, and he has a headlamp on.
Yeah, that's right. Barry is. He really was such a great character.
He's so great. I love Barry to death.
Yes. I was really worried. There was a point where, like, their plane went down because they were, like, flying around.
Oh, right. Yeah, they were in a helicopter at one point helping Helen.
Yes.
That was for the. When it was getting to the electric company.
Yes. Where, like, and I thought that they were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very sad. But then they didn't. Spoiler alert.
Once again, having played through it before, I was like, oh, I know what's coming.
Well, yeah, right. But, I mean, I think that's a testament to the game itself. Like,
you get invested.
They're fun characters. Yeah.
Like, I was surprised how much I latched onto these characters.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mentioned it before, but in 2010, when it came out, I was working at a GameStop, and I was allowed to check out used games. So I checked out Alan Wake, and I had it for 3 days. That's all the max they would give you. And I beat it in those 3 days. I just sat down and powered through it. And I was like, it's like 13 hours.
Yeah, it's not too long.
Not that long, but I had to see the end of it because I got attached to these characters.
Yeah.
Oh, that does remind me, too. I'll just make this note real quick. It's not that important. All of the branding in the original game got removed.
Oh, yeah, so.
Duracell batteries are gone, Lincoln cars are gone, and no sync by Microsoft in the middle of like very important touching scenes between characters.
Yeah, right.
And the game is better for it.
Yes. Yeah. I would say, just speaking of characters also on this character tangent, they're well written except for Alice.
Alice,
I think that Alice
great.
Is a weak character, which sucks because I think she could have been really cool.
Yeah, they don't do a lot with her except like, hey, she's in her underwear again.
Yeah, right. At the very beginning,
that,
it's like
that part is all of her stuff.
Definitely cringy. And then, she just like, just
there's too many scenes where her memory is of just them either fooling around or her in her underwear. Yes. Like, there's too much. It's like, all right, once or twice, fine. They're married, whatever. Who cares? Like, I get it. They're in a relationship. Sure, playful times. But, like, when it's almost all of her backstory.
It's basically exclusively her character.
Yeah, and then one time she took a photo of Ellen for a book cover.
Yes.
Like, that was it. So, yeah. Everyone else gets a story except Alice, which really sucks.
Yeah, it does. And I think that that's disheartening.
That's one of the few faults that I definitely have with the game is that Alice's story is not great.
Yeah, she's not developed very well.
Yeah, she deserved more.
Yeah, but anyway, so after the light company.
Yeah, so after you get to the light, the keeper of the light, she kind of helps you load out a little bit and tells you where to reach Thomas.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to remember.
How to get to Thomas.
How to get to Thomas now, because there were...
Or she just tells you the backstory. She tells you, like,
right,
I loved Zane, I can't remember the other lady, Barb or something.
Yeah, that was the muse.
Right.
Which I didn't realize that's who that was in the Black Veil.
So they were in love.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood. Thomas started to understand sort of the power of his writing in that area.
Right.
Like what sort of happened.
Right.
Or
that,
what could happen.
That power in the area was able to give, like, with the things he wrote started to become true.
Right. And so Barbara died. She drowned or something. I can't remember. Is Barbara her name?
We'll go with Barb. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't remember what her name was.
I think it's a B name. But anyway,
that sounds right.
Yeah.
But...
So she, Babs.
Oh, Babs.
Oh, Babs. No, she died somehow, I think. And she died.
I was just going to say it, so I'm glad you did.
But anyway, so she died. He is, like, saddened by this, is trying to bring her back.
Because he thinks at this point, because he knows how powerful his writing is, he could revive her.
Right.
But... And I believe the way he writes it, he ends up getting trapped.
Yes.
So, like, he kind of revives her, but brings her back as the darkness.
Yeah.
And then, in return, he is then trapped in that story and no longer exists in the real world.
Right. So, that's sort of what caused this, like, branching off of reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's the one reality where, like, you know, they just die, like lake
right.
or the island sinks, like all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other, it is this sort of suspended in time.
Okay.
The lake's still there. They're stuck, you know, all
right.
that kind of stuff.
And is it that's in the post game stuff that you start seeing those videos. But Alan knows now what he has to do to get Alice back. He needs to go, and he knows how to write the story.
Right.
He started to figure out that there is a version of reality somewhere where Barbara has taken control of him and has forced him to write this story. That's the 2 weeks. So the 2 weeks that were missing was he ran into Barbara. Barbara possessed him.
The darkness.
The darkness possessed Alan too, forced him to write this story to end to happen the way it was. But Alan was awake enough, or there was something in him that at least wrote his own escape.
Right.
And so he had been secretly trying to figure out, trying to remember that escape.
Which, if you're playing at home, Alan Wake, awake.
What?
It was there the whole time.
He has to get back and write the conclusion to the story that he knows how to do it. And trying to remember, you have to, it's just another sequence of fighting your way back. There was like a whole other sequence in the middle there I missed where there was someone who claimed to be holding Alice hostage.
Oh, yeah.
But that guy was lying.
He was really just like, not, what's the word then?
He was just trying to.
He wasn't possessed, but he was essentially like
blackmailing.
Given an blackmail, thank you.
Yeah.
He was given like an ultimatum.
Right. He was just trying to get money or something on Alan.
And then he died.
Yeah. And then, oh, he died.
He got launched off the cliff, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was another one I just remembered early on. Like,
or Alan did.
That was the first. That's what drove Alan to find the guy. And I want to say that guy's death is.
Oh,
what,
that's how. That's why Alan woke up, because in Hartman's place, because he fell off the cliff.
That's it. Yep.
And Hartman, because he's possessed mm-hmm. by the darkness, also knew
yep.
where Alan was.
Okay. Yep. There Let's we go. Up. And okay, so Alan has to get back to the typewriter at I don't remember where it's at, and write the story. And the way he writes the story is that he manages to write himself into the darkness the way that Thomas did, and is able to eject Alice out.
Yes.
So the game actually ends, the original game ends with Alice back on that island again, being like, Alan! And then you see Alan trapped inside, trying to, much in the same way that Thomas was.
Yeah, and he basically, I think it ends with him saying, I know how to write the story now, or
yep.
something like that.
And that's it. Yeah. And that's so he got Alice out, but now he's trapped.
Yeah.
And so that was the original game. Now, when you get the remastered edition, you get the two extra DLC pieces, which we will jump through real quick,
because yeah.
it's going long.
Yeah, I was wondering what time.
Basically, the gist of those two DLCs is that you are struggling with your own sanity. You keep seeing the Mr. Scratch version of yourself, who has taken your place in the real world. Although I do like the anytime you say Mr. Scratch, it goes Mr.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Mr. exists in the real world as you, and he's like a sleazier version of Alan,
yeah.
which I
he just sucks.
So stupid. I love it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, check me out, babe. I'm gonna curse at your parents and drink alcohol. I don't know.
Yep.
So
I'm gonna stay up past midnight.
Oh man. And I'm gonna eat all of the cheese in the fridge.
Yeah.
Alan keeps seeing videos of himself like on the floor of a room yelling out the story that's happening, and you're constantly having to fight against that story.
Yes.
The thing I like the DLC does that didn't do in the main game is that words float in the darkness version of reality. And so you'll have to shine a flashlight on them to get things. And sometimes you don't want to shine your light.
Yes,
on.
Exactly. Because they brought that up at the very end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But this sort of expands upon that.
Yeah, this fleshes that out into a game mechanic. And
yes.
It really was,
I thought it was cool. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And so you're kind of trying to find Thomas, who's, you know, you can actually talk to Thomas now because he exists in the same reality that
and
you
just
are.
This floating, like,
he's always
old
in the diver
scuba
suit.
Diving. Yes.
Yep. He always comes
cool.
in. You always just hear a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is always great.
Yep.
And so you're trying to find Thomas, and Thomas keeps telling you that you're further and further away, which means you're descending further and further into this madness. Eventually, you manage to work your way through it. You talk to Thomas, and he gives you a couple of, like, extra weapons and stuff to help you get back to where you need to go. But ultimately, he just kind of leads you, kind of tells you or gives you some info. I'm trying to remember, because it's really not, he doesn't really do a whole lot.
It
he just kind of gives you
anything.
The confidence to regain composure and
yeah.
write yourself out.
Yes.
That's really how that
yeah,
DLC
the DLC is. Just sort of became like a pep talk.
Yeah, it was essentially sort of that, pep but with some cool little
with
words
a lot of
stuff.
Madness. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, so basically it ends setting up what is clearly meant to be Alan Wake 2.
Right.
Which is him getting out.
Yes.
Alan Wake 2, I remember for years, because everyone thought when Microsoft had the rights, it probably wasn't going to happen. Because it sold, Alan Wake did pretty well, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't set the world on fire.
Yeah.
So it just kind of sat on a shelf for years. And eventually, Remedy were able to get the rights back from Microsoft. Alan Wake now is back in the hands of Remedy. That's when Control came out. They did the Alan Wake DLC. And that's when they basically were like, oh, yeah, we're making this into the universe. That is the one thing they added to the remaster that kind of ties it all into the greater Remedy verse, is that there are QR codes scattered throughout this game now.
Yep.
You can scan the QR codes with your phone and they take you to unlisted YouTube videos posted by Remedy, and they're all Vision. So it's like Vision number one, Vision number two. And they're all done in the exact style from Control, where it's the, you know, it's full motion
sort of
video.
Silhouetted. Yeah.
Silhouetted person talking, and it's a monologue, and it ties it into the greater story. And I think this is them teasing the sequel.
Yeah.
If it's not, so I don't know if the sequel is just Alan Wake 2. I don't know if the sequel is baked into whatever they do next with Control.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just do like a Marvel Cinematic Universe thing where they make Alan Wake 2 that then sets up the next Control.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because we know
they sort
connected.
Of bring them together. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we know that altered events from Control are basically the same things that happen.
Well,
in,
you know this.
I know this. Yeah. Altered events are things you're going to learn about in Control. And those altered events are basically what happened in Bright Falls.
Interesting.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah, that's very cool.
I need to. I actually need to finish the Alan Wake DLC. I'm like halfway through it.
Mm.
It's one of those ones that is just sitting on my PC waiting for me to do it. I just need to sit down and do it because what I played of it, I really liked. Especially now playing Alan Wake again, it makes me really want to see the rest of that through.
Yeah, see that through, yeah.
Yeah, because throughout that game, you're talking, throughout Control, you're talking to other people in that silhouette style. That's how you get all your back, your information, your backstory, is through these, through those videos.
Yeah.
And they're so well done. They're so well produced. And knowing that the little bit of that Alan Wake DLC I played is totally those visions, or, you know, at least in the same style of, I'm like, oh, they're doing something.
Yeah.
And Alan Wake 2 has already been teased. There's been like a data leak somewhere on the Epic store that they think they saw a listing for Alan Wake 2. That's not been confirmed yet. You know, Epic just gave Remedy, they have a publishing deal with Remedy now, where they just basically give them a bunch of money and said, go do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that which is awesome.
Which is super awesome. Yeah, as much as like sometimes Epic has some missteps, that's a pretty great deal for me.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please go give them money to do whatever they want to do, because I will play whatever they make next.
You got to imagine with the success of Control.
That game blew it open for
them. Yeah, Epic was probably like, yeah. We can let you do this.
I would say I think that has to be their best-selling game of all time now. So,
I'm sure Quantum Break being a launch title was helpful. But
it helped, but it was also just on Xbox and PC,
right? Yeah,
which hurt it. It was the generation where it was on Xbox One, which didn't do as well,
right?
Now, I think, it's set there wherever they go next. I can't wait.
Yeah, I agree.
So, take a breath. That was a lot to get through.
Yeah, we really sort of fucked up the story too.
Yeah, we jumped around a little bit, but we hit the main beats.
I think generally, like, I mean, if we're talking about the the theme of this podcast, book clubs never go linearly.
Yeah,
we're forgetting stuff and coming back,
right?
That's essentially what's happening here.
Yeah,
anyway,
I
digress. I'm just justifying us fucking
up. Yeah, we're justifying our fuck ups.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
That's okay.
That's what we do here.
Yes.
And on that note, let's wrap up the discussion on Alan Wake for now. And final thoughts on the game. Paul. Well, you know what? I'll start this time. I always give it to you first, but I want to start. Yeah. Alan Wake is one of my favorite games. It's always been one of my favorites, even from 2010. There's faults. We've talked about it. Alice's character is very poor and overly sexualized.
Yes.
And some of the gameplay gets very repetitive after a while, and some of the battles can be frustrating. But, man, that the world building they do, they just build such a complete universe, and it's only gotten better for them. So, this one will always have a special place in my heart. I absolutely think you can't go wrong. Not to mention, this remaster is only $30.
Yeah.
Like, you could do a lot
worse. Or it's
on
Game Pass, again.
It's on Game Pass. Oh, sweet. Yeah. Get it on Game Pass. I want to play Alan Wake's American Nightmare again, because I started it, never finished it, and it's kind of like a side story of, once again, him in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And or it's about Mr. Scratch.
Oh,
it is American Nightmare. Oh,
yeah,
man. Yeah, I love it. I get whatever Remedy's selling, I'm buying. So, cannot wait. I love those guys over there in Finland.
Yeah.
Give me more.
They know what they're doing.
It's a great game.
Yep.
So, yeah, you should absolutely play it, is what I'm trying to say. If you, especially if you're a story person. If you play games for story, this is, I cannot. Yes. And it's not, if you're worried about being like a horror game, it's it's a good entry point.
Yeah.
Nothing in there is really going to haunt you.
Yeah.
There's not even like, there's like the very lightest of jump scares.
Yeah. They're creepy bits, but it's
creepy
not
creepy
like
bits,
a...
but it's nothing in there is like, it was rated teen.
Yeah.
When it came out. It's still rated teen. So that should set the stage for what this game is.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yep.
It's fantastic. You should play it. Oh.
Yeah. I'm basically in the same boat. The combat can get a little bit repetitive, but even if, like, you know, we were talking about sometimes it's pretty difficult. I think there is, like, just a story mode version, right? Like,
oh, yeah. You go on easy.
It's basically, like, beyond easy. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So
you go there. I think easy mode even tells you if you just want to do a story.
Yeah. That's basically, yeah, what's going on. So, but yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, the story, you know, it's twists and turns. And it was even one of those where, like, there was, especially like toward the end, I wasn't sure if I was completely following along, but just us talking through it was like, yeah, okay, that's what happened. But I think that's a testament to like how deep this story was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think its vagueness is on purpose too.
Yeah. I don't think it's supposed to be on the nose.
Right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was gonna say is that some games you have to talk about them like that because you're like, I literally just don't know what the hell they were even doing there.
Right. Yeah.
A la Death Stranding.
Right. But at least, like, I don't know. I think about, like, Bioshock. If mm-hmm. not my favorite game of all time, like, way up there. And it's the same thing. Like, it's that story that's just, like, gripping. And you know, you don't really know where it's going to go. It's sort of rooted in mystery. There's twists, you know, whatever. And this was like a similar, not vibe wise, because this wasn't about Ayn Rand or, you know, objectivism or whatever, but just like the depth. Yeah. The depth of the writing, just the fun bits too, that were in there with, mm-hmm. you know, pop culture type references and all of that stuff. And just all of that world building was really, really awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Cannot recommend this game enough.
Yeah.
If you get the remaster, go do it. There's nothing wrong with that edition. I think it actually is better because of the lack of blatant advertising.
Yeah.
Which I think really wrecked the first one a bit, even though I still loved it.
But definitely was of its time.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I will always remember that screenshot in my head that I took. Just burned into my brain of Alan and Alice talking in the car and just Sync by Microsoft. It's just right there.
Just staring you in the face.
Just staring. You're like, yep. Okay, great. But so that is Alan Wake. Please go. Like, it's definitely one of our, but like, I can't recommend it enough. It's
absolutely.
It's so much fun. I love this game so much and cannot wait to see what else they do. So, but yeah. So, just some notes on what we're going to do next month. As we mentioned earlier on, we're not going to have a game next month because, you know, it's busy season. It's holidays for people, busy for us as well. We want to look back on the year that was, kind of talk about, maybe we'll talk about some of the games we played this past year and talked about here. And then some of the stuff that we haven't talked about, but need a smaller time chunk to talk about them.
Yeah.
We'll do that next month. We'll have a good time. Set us ourselves up into 2022.
A nice potpourri of review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of a
smattering of.
It'll be the lo-fi chill beats to
to listen to.
To end your year
to. End your year to. There you go.
But and I'm going to remember to do it this
to
time.
To burn that Yule log too.
It's right. It's a 4-hour Yule log video of a podcast. That's what this next episode.
Just like, yeah.
Yep.
YouTube
My video. Favorite one of those is the Hades one that they did last year.
Oh, I don't think
yeah,
I saw
the
that.
Hades game has a Yule log video on YouTube.
Oh,
you
that's
watch.
Good. Yep. That's good.
I highly recommend it. Anyway, I'm going to remember to do this segment now because I always forget. You can find us on Twitter where the Artful Escape devs talk to us.
Yay!
Yeah, shout out to them one more time. You can on Twitter at Backlog Review, capital B, capital R, singular. You can talk to us there. No S on that reviews.
None. Yep. No, that is not plural.
Talk to us on there.
It will remain singular.
Yep. You can point people to backlogreview.club if you want to recommend the show to your friends and family. We would highly appreciate it.
Yeah.
You can leave a good old review there on the Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. We're on a lot of them. I can't remember all of them, but your pod listening app of choice, please leave a review on there for us to help other people find the show as well.
Yeah.
And if you like the show enough and want to support it, you can go to backlogreview.club and see how you can support the show. There's a support the show button. It's a buck or two a month, and you can help us upgrade some stuff. I don't know. You know, if we get enough people to do that, we'll think about doing some bonus episodes. But really, you know, we're just looking to upgrade and just make this show better for you.
Yes.
Really what we're trying to do.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that about wraps it up.
I think so, too.
I think we did a lot of good work here today.
Yep.
I'm proud of us.
I am as well.
Yeah. And we are no longer trapped in our inky void of blackness.
We are not. We have found a flashlight.
We have shown that light through. We have escaped by finally talking about Alan Wake.
Yeah. Been a long time coming.
Yep. All right. And I think there's no better place to end it than right here and there. Paul, thank you again.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you for Extra Life as well, by the way.
Absolutely.
What a great time that was. You can watch that, by the way. Well, you can't watch the full feed anymore because I couldn't export it to YouTube. Because YouTube are being asses about video length now.
No.
I don't know. We'll see. I have saved. You can still go to twitch.tv/panicswitch and see a lot of the highlights. I did clip a lot of highlights out of the stream.
That's good.
So you can see a good bit from there.
Sweet.
And you know, check in for future streams we might do. All right, anyway, we will see you again next month for a fun little cozy episode.
Ooh, get your hot chocolate.
That's right, get your comfy sweaters, yep. Put on those sweatpants, and we'll...
Mayhaps a little mulled wine.
Ooh, I mean, you do you out there. And we'll see you next month.
Eggnog!
Oh, yeah. Spice up that nog.
Spice up that nog.
Next month, Backlog Review Game Club.
See ya.